From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua, bringing the final portion of a message called A Picture of a Christ-Centered Life. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Overcomer's Reward. The text is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. My heart, be thou stirred up to persevere in the holy war, for the reward of victory is great. Today we eat of heavenly food which falls about our camps, the food of the wilderness, the food which comes from heaven, the food which never fails the pilgrims to Canaan. But there is reserved for us in Christ Jesus a still higher degree of spiritual life, and a food for it which, as yet, is hidden from our experience. In the golden pot which was laid up in the ark, there was a portion of manna hidden away, which, though kept for ages, never grew stale. No one ever saw it. It was hid with the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Even so, the highest life of the believer is hid with Christ in God. We shall come to it soon. Being made victorious through the grace of our Lord Jesus, we shall eat of the King's meat and feed upon royal dainties. We shall feed upon Jesus. He is our hidden manna, as well as the manna of the wilderness. He is all in all to us in our highest, as well as in our lowest estate. He helps us to fight, gives us the victory, and then is himself our reward. Lord, help me to overcome.
Oh,
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Having finally completed their conquest of the land of Canaan, the children of Israel gathered at Shiloh, where they set up the tabernacle. At the beginning of the message, Dr. Cairns explained that the tabernacle is the fullest and most perfect type of Christ in the Scriptures. Therefore, it clearly and powerfully sets forth God's pattern for a Christ-centered life. God commands the lives of His people to be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not around material things or even around loved ones. Then we've seen that the Lord enables His people to live a Christ-centered life. As the Lord's presence dwelt in the tabernacle, so the individual believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who provides power to the Christian. Also, God's people are to live in the fellowship of the gospel, which speaks of public worship. This Christ-centered life is to be marked by fervency, wholehearted faithfulness to the Savior. For in the last place, we see that the Lord blesses a Christ-centered life. Now to conclude this message, a picture of a Christ-centered life, here is Dr. Cairns.
The first fundamental part of public worship is it is directed Godward as a service to Him. And I think in our churches that has been altogether lost. If you kept that in mind, you wouldn't sit sleeping through a church service, no matter how poor the preacher was. You wouldn't be sitting wondering what's cooking at home or what you're going to do in business tomorrow if you recognize this is part of a Christ-centered life, this worship. The Lord, we are told in Psalm 22, inhabits the praises of Israel. Christianity, in one sense, is a personal religion, but never overestimate the personal to the detriment of the communal. You must be saved individually, but when you're saved, you're no longer an individual, you're part of the body of Christ. That's why we're told where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Have you stopped to recognize this morning Jesus Christ is here? Just as truly, just as realistically as He was when He stood on earth among His disciples, He says, I am in the midst. That's why it's so vitally important for God's people to be in the place of public worship. Not forsaking the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is. A Christ-centered life is one lived in the fellowship of the gospel. And of course, it's one lived in the fervency of the gospel. And fervency is not just a feeling, it's fidelity to Christ. Time does not allow me to deal with this in any detail. But let me put it to you very simply. When Israel raised that tabernacle, she was nailing her colors to the mast. She was saying, as Luther did many years later, here we stand. There's no turning back. This was a profession. We will regulate our personal lives, our family life, our church life, our business life, our national life by the Lord's will and by the Lord's word. It was also a testimony when they raised the tabernacle in its permanent abode. It was also a testimony. We will maintain the truth proclaimed by this tabernacle for our children and the generations to come. Unstained, unsullied, and unimpaired. That, my friend, is the commitment of a Christian. What is a Christ-centered life? To live in the presence of the Savior. To live acknowledging His Lordship in all things. As Peter said in the house of Cornelius, He is Lord of all. It is a life that is lived with this fervent testimony. I will be faithful to the person of my Lord. I will be faithful to proclaiming the work of my Lord. I will be faithful as God enables me in my walk, in my worship, and in my witness. I've often given you the words of one English skeptic. I think it was Thomas Huxley, who said, "It doesn't take much of a man to be a Christian, but it does take all there is of him." I was reading just this morning the words of the great John Bunyan. Bunyan said to the Lord, "Thou deservest all, or my all. Thou deservest my all, for thou hast paid for me 10,000 times my worth." Thou deservest my all. That's living in the fervency of the gospel. A Christ-centered life is a life of total commitment to Christ. The Lord commands that kind of a life. The Lord enables His people to live that kind of a life. And the Lord blesses that Christ-centered life. Don't you see that in the tabernacle? He dwelt in the midst. When you have a Christ-centered life, when you're living your life around Christ, He's in the midst. He grants the comfort of the gospel. He grants the comfort of the person and of the work of the Savior. That's a precious thing. I mentioned our sister Carla McNeely's aunt visiting her in hospital just a very short time after her doctors had given her what was finally for them, unless the Lord intervenes, a death notice. That's a shocking thing to anybody's system. It's a hard thing to come to terms with. It was my pleasure to open up the Scriptures, to bring to a child of God the comfort of the gospel without glossing over the reality and the imminence of death. To bring the comfort of the gospel. When I went back to see her, to speak to her again and open up the Scriptures, reminded her of what we had seen the last time in God's Word, and then further again this time, she said, "And you know, for she was weeping when I went first time, says, you know, I haven't wept about that since." It's the beauty of having Christ in the heart of your life. He gives the comfort of the gospel. He gives the sight of His glory, and the sight of Christ will strengthen you to do whatever the Lord wants you to do or carry you through any trouble. He gives you a refuge in the storms of life, a guide in the perplexities of life. And you know, when you stop to think of it, He gives you a foretaste of heaven. The tabernacle in the midst of the nation was just a foretaste of that eternal joy when the glorified church meets around her glorified Savior. A Christ-centered life is what Moses called in Deuteronomy 11, days of heaven upon the earth. Oh, I trust today, first and foremost, that you'll come to know Christ. If you don't know Him, if you're not even in the Israel of God, you must come. Don't trust a church or a sacrament. Trust a living Savior. Take Him as your own. And then start to live life with Christ at the heart of it all. If you're a Christian this morning, I trust that God has spoken to your heart of the necessity of a Christ-centered life. What other kind of life can satisfy a Christian? None. There's no satisfaction for a Christian anywhere but in Christ. He it is who lends joy to everything else we do in life. He it is who brings peace to our relaxation. He it is who brings real happiness to the other, even material, earthly things He has given us to enjoy. They're baubles without Christ. But when life is lived with Christ at its center, His joy, His peace spreads through every part. May God grant us today, individually and as a church, to do what Israel and Joshua did and set up that tabernacle. Recognize our Savior and by His grace live a Christ-centered life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. After the faltering voice of man is silent, Lord, speak on. O God, remove, we pray, all that is purely of man, and let thy truth dwell in every heart. We desire to make much of Christ. Lord, help us as a church to take a clear and unambiguous stand for the Savior. God, help us to preach Christ. Help us to remain separated from the great apostasy of the last days, the falling away from the true faith of the gospel. Lord, we pray, give us courage to stand up for Jesus. And give, we pray, fruit for the preaching of thy word. Bless all the ministries that go out from this place and use them to the saving of souls. Bless thy people here. Lord, set Christ as the focal point of our entire existence. Enable us to live unto Him, for Him, to glorify thy name in Him. O God, our Father, give us Christ-centered living. Hear our prayer. Receive the service of this meeting that we offer to Thee, the singing, the reading, the praying, the preaching, the listening, the responding to what has been heard. Lord, we offer it to Thee as a service of worship. Take it. Glorify Thy name thereby. And grant much fruit for all that we have said and done today. Part us now with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people this Sabbath day and evermore. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.